In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. Moses had gathered with our people that final time and reminded them of the law. And when he did this, Moses told them about something that was to come. He told our people that one day God would bring forth a prophet. A prophet out of Israel, and this prophet would be the one whose word would be God's word. Whose word would hold the people together. And that everyone within God's people would have to listen to this prophet's voice. And whoever did not listen to this prophet's voice would be cut out of our people. As the centuries rolled by for our people, a lot of prophets came and went. First off was Moses himself. Many of our people struggled with this idea that anyone would really supersede Moses. And I think a lot of our people held out hope that whoever this prophet was, Moses would sit right alongside this prophet. That this new prophet would just parrot what Moses had taught us. Because there were people among us who really cherished what Moses had given us. After Moses, there was the most immediate prophet, the one that Moses himself appointed, Joshua. Joshua was the one who led our people across the Jordan River and into the Promised Land. And he violently led our people to capitalize on the destruction of the nations in Canaan. Many within our people believe that Joshua was this prophet. His name, Joshua, even meant Yahweh, our God, saves. And after Joshua came many judges, but then ultimately a new hope was born with a king. A king that God himself had called as a shepherd boy. His name was David. And so many within our people clung to David. A man who started the track well. The man who killed tens of thousands in order to establish a kingdom for our people. The man David who dreamed up a temple where God would always reside right in our midst. Many of our people clung to David fiercely, thinking maybe he was the prophet. Or David's son Solomon, who actually built the great temple, who expanded David's kingdom and expanded the wealth and glory of our nation to its absolute pinnacle. Many clung to Solomon thinking maybe Solomon was the prophet. And as the line of kings went on, actual prophets started to pop up. The most famous of which was Elijah, and then his successor, Elisha. Many people clung to the voice of Elijah and Elisha, and then all the prophets that would pop up through the coming centuries, thinking maybe Elijah, maybe Elisha, maybe one of the prophets that followed was this prophet that would speak to us God's very word. That would unite our people around that word. And then much more recent in our history was a man named Judah Maccabeus. A man who, after the Greeks had captured our temple, Judah led a revolt. And he violently overthrew the Greek powers. And he took back our temple and he established a peace treaty with the Roman Empire. Or Judah's brother Simon Maccabeus, who then became a priest in our temple system. These were men that people among us thought was the prophet that Moses had foretold. So many voices popped up over the centuries. So many. Impossible to recount them. And our people were entrenched in debate. Who was it that was really the successor of Moses? Was it Joshua? David? Solomon? Elijah? Elisha? Jeremiah? Isaiah? Judah? Maccabeus? His brother Simon? Who do we really listen to? Because all these different voices were a little bit different. They had their own spin on who God was. The debates were fierce as I grew up. Everyone had their 2 cents. Everyone chose their loyalty. Whether they were in Moses' camp, David's camp, Elijah's camp, everyone had their thought, their opinion on who the prophet was. In the midst of this debate, my life was overturned when there was a guy wandering along the Sea of Galilee who changed everything for me. He was a poor bastard child, the son of unmarried parents. And he started to challenge everything in our world. I remember one sermon where he gathered with the crowds on a mountain and he started to recount Moses' words. And he said, "No, I tell you this instead." He kept saying the words of Moses and then saying, "No, I tell you, it is this way." As you might imagine, this man caused a lot of heartache and trouble everywhere he went. And then he also was challenging the temple system. His final week of life, he had ridden into Jerusalem and shut down the whole temple system. And people wanted him dead. He had said that the temple was no longer a place for worship of God. It was a den for thieves, liars, false prophets. This man's name was also Joshua. The Greek was Jesus, but we knew him as Joshua. Yahweh saves. And above all else, there was one episode that a few of us got to witness ourselves that I think was the turning point for me. In the middle of Jesus' ministry, he had taken a few of us on top of a mountain. And there, as he gathered in prayer, we were astonished when Moses appeared and Elijah. Moses, the giver of the law, was there, and Elijah, the foremost of the prophets, was there with Jesus, who we were following around the countryside. We weren't a part of the conversation, but we saw Moses and Elijah and Jesus talking with each other. And we assumed that Moses and Elijah were giving Jesus instructions, that Moses and Elijah were giving Jesus pointers about God, that Moses and Elijah were passing along their wisdom to Jesus, telling him how to do his ministry. One of us popped up and threw out the idea that we should build 3 tents, tabernacles like Moses had built in the wilderness, and we should put Jesus in one of them, Moses in one, and Elijah in another. Because for us, we wanted all 3 voices. To be preserved. We loved Moses. We loved Elijah. And this Jesus guy, he was blowing our minds, but we loved him as well. We wanted all 3 of them to speak to us about God. But that idea didn't fly. And then the clouds started to roll in. And the clouds covered Moses and Elijah and Jesus in the midst of their conversation. And we were terrified. And out of the clouds, this was the only time I ever in my life heard God speak. The only moment. And out of the cloud, God said something that I will never forget. He said, "This one is my chosen beloved son. Listen to him." This one, we were thinking. But there's Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, all three of these voices that we want to preserve. And as soon as the clouds rolled away, our minds were blown forever. Moses was gone. Elijah was gone. It was only Jesus. To a good Hebrew boy like me, I don't think you understand how much this rocked my world. I didn't end up talking about it for months, maybe even years. That Moses would disappear? How could that be? We had built our lives around the Torah, the law of Moses. That Elijah, the foremost of the prophets, that he would disappear when God told us who to listen to? How could that be? That it was this poor man who wandered the countryside challenging Moses, challenging the temple, that he could possibly be the one and only voice to listen to on behalf of God? Everything I had grown up thinking was crumbling. Jesus only? We came down that mountain stunned. Jesus himself actually told us, "Don't tell anyone what has happened until I've been raised from the dead." He didn't have to worry about that one. We weren't going to tell anybody what we had seen. We could get stoned for suggesting that Moses and Elijah, that their season was done. Our people treasured them. They had inscribed them in scriptures that we believe were sacred beyond messing with. How could we dare go down the mountain and tell people that this wandering homeless man was the voice of God and we need to listen to him, not Moses and not Elijah? We didn't say a word. When Jesus was hanging there on the cross, after we had abandoned him and he was dying, we had the thought that maybe he wasn't the prophet after all, even though we had heard the voice. Because Moses had said that the false prophets would all die. And as we saw Jesus dying on the cross, rejected by our people, rejected by the Roman Empire, even abandoned by us, we thought maybe we imagined the voice on the mountain. But 3 days later, when the tomb was empty and we saw Jesus with our own eyes and we touched him with our own hands, we realized what this meant. Moses had died and he was buried. David had died and he was buried, and we knew where he was buried. Solomon dead. Elijah taken away. But he was gone. Elisha, all the prophets, dead, buried. All the voices that we thought to listen to, they were dead. Just like Moses had said, the false prophets must die. But Jesus, this new Joshua, was back. He had defeated death. This was the capstone. We knew it with certainty from that moment on that Jesus was the prophet. And we ran forth telling everyone that we could that Jesus, the new Joshua, was the only voice to listen to. Moses and the law? Forget about it. Jesus is the one who speaks for God. Elijah and all the prophets that we have in our scriptures? Forget about it. Jesus interprets God for us. He is the prophet, the only one to listen to, the only one who determines who is a part of God's people and who is not. Death could not hold him. He came back from the dead. He was the true prophet who said he would rise again, and he did. This is our message. That it is Jesus only to be listened to. And we struggle still in our own lives, and our people continue to struggle with wanting to mix and match. But Jesus himself said, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two or more voices. Who is it? We love to mix and match. So many of our people say, well, we want to listen to Jesus, but we want a little bit of Moses. And a little bit of Elijah. When Jesus makes us uncomfortable, we want to run back to David. We want to run back to Solomon and use them to make ourselves a little more comfortable. Because what Jesus is saying is too radical. Don't fall into the same traps that we are struggling with. There's one voice. One. It's not Jesus and Moses. It's not Jesus and Elijah. It's not Jesus and your own heart. It's Jesus only. He's the prophet. He's the voice of God. Don't let any other voice get in the way of listening to Jesus. He is God's voice among us. The only voice that can be trusted. If we listen to him, we will live. Amen.